Now, it's said that in every cloud there's a silver lining. And it's not just talking about any old clouds, it's talking about storm clouds and things like that. And really the idea captures what Paul was talking about from our scripture reading in Romans chapter 8, 18 through 39, which I'm not going to take time to read again. Rob did quite a good job for it. Paul tells us that God can take all the events that happen in the world and make it come out to work at for His benefit, and particularly for the benefit of His people. Even the wicked events, even the things that normally we think is just absolutely destroying the church, God can turn those things around and make them into a benefit. But sometimes it's hard to imagine anything good coming from people who see it as their job to teach contrary to what God teaches. Now, there are people out there that teach that evolution is the way the world became. It's all about chance, that just random events, that things just happen to be. There are people out there that teach, you know, various sins, the popularity of them, getting drunk, committing sexual sins, those type of things, promulgating those. There are people within the church who are teaching all sorts of odd doctrines, trying to push various agendas. How does that benefit God's people? First off, though, we have to understand there will always be... Oops. Right in the middle of my talk here, I got a error notice. Okay. In 2 Peter chapter 2, 2 Peter chapter 2, first couple of verses in that passage, it says, therefore, putting aside all malice, oops, I got 1 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 2, but false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will also be false teachers among you, who will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, bringing swift destruction upon themselves. Many will follow after their sensuality, and because of them the way of truth will be maligned, and in their greed they will exploit you with false words. Their judgment from long ago is not idle, and their destruction is not asleep. There will always be false prophets. There will always be false teachers. There will not be a time that we do not have to deal with such things. And because of them, they will lead many into destruction. People will follow after this deception. In fact, it was prophesied that Christians would depart from the faith. Take a look at 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4, and starting with verse 1. But the Spirit explicitly says that in latter times there, some will fall away from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons by means of hypocrisy of liars, seared in their own conscience as with a branding iron. Men who forbid marriage and advocate abstaining from foods which God has created to be gratefully shared by those who believe and know the truth. For everything created by God is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it's received with gratitude, for it's sanctified by the means of the word of God and prayer. If people would depart from the faith, people would be teaching odd things. Even denying yourself different types of food that God created, advocating that one shouldn't marry. All these things were struggles that the early Christians faced. And there are struggles that are going to go on throughout Christianity, throughout the Christian age. What is interesting is not only is God allowing this to happen, but Jesus said it was impossible for it not to happen. Take a look at Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17, And in verse 1, it said, he said to his disciples, it is inevitable that stumbling blocks come, but woe to him through whom they come. It would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea, than he would cause one of these little ones to stumble. Notice that. It's inevitable that false teaching will come. Now, how is that possible? Well, if you think about it, whenever there is a law, there is going to be someone who will break it. We have Satan working actively trying to bring down Christianity. It's going to happen. It's going to happen that people are going to teach false doctrine. It's going to happen that we're going to have people coming in and spreading something that's not true. It's just a fact of life here on this world. Now, it doesn't make the offender any more acceptable to God. Just like, you know, when there's a storm cloud, I'm sure when we get a nice big storm in here, next one, good one, we're probably going to be all thankful for that rain. But at the same time, storms are destructive. It's going to cause problems. God still will punish those who lead his people astray. Yet, what Jesus says is those people must come. Take a look at Matthew chapter 18. Matthew 18, and in verse 7. Woe to the world because of its stumbling blocks, for it is inevitable that stumbling blocks come. But woe to the man through whom the stumbling block comes. We're going to have to be prepared. We're going to have to be ready. We know it's going to happen. It should never catch us off guard because we should be on guard for it all the time. But again, let's consider for a moment, why does God allow it to happen? Why is it that it must come? Well, in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and starting with verse 17, Paul talks about how the Corinthians had lost sight of the Lord's Supper and its purpose and its meaning. And he mentions in 1 Corinthians 11, starting with verse 17, he says, "But in giving this instruction, I do not praise you, because you come together not for the better, but for the worse. For in the first place, when you come together as a church, I hear that divisions exist among you. And in part I believe it. For there must be factions among you, so that those who are approved may become evident among you." That's an interesting statement I've always found fascinating. There has to be divisions among Christians. The factions show who are approved and who are not approved by God. You know, when growth takes place, people are going to have to use their knowledge to combat what's wrong. There's always going to be, when you have growth coming in, you've got people coming in, they're going to bring in things that they just assume were true. They're going to bring in things that they'd like to do. There are going to be people coming in who basically says, "Well, I like the church, but I want it changed in this way." And such is always going to happen. Those who stand for the truth are going to stick out from those who want to modify the truth. In Hebrews chapter 5, starting with verse 13, Hebrews 5, starting with verse 13. "For everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he is an infant. But solid food is for the mature, because of practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil." Not everyone is mature. Not everyone sees the difference between what's right and what's wrong. You see that happening all the time. People come in, teach a false doctrine, spread some type of error, and what's being pushed, some people don't see it. Some people say, well, what's wrong with that? I don't see what the problem is. But a lot of times it's because they haven't matured to understand what is being taken place. The Bible is our sword. The Bible is our weapon that God gave us to defend the truth. Take a look at Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. And starting with verse 10, Ephesians 6, starting with verse 10, finally be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God so that you'll be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you may be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. In addition to all, taking up the shield of faith, with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit, that in this view be on the alert with all perseverance and petition of all the saints. You know, few people become accomplished sword fighters if they never enter into a battle. If you're going to do battle, you have to practice. No, coming from a long lineage of sword fighters won't help you much, would it? You can say, hey, you know, my grandfather was the greatest sword fighter in the world, so? What does it do about you? Maybe you got a little few hints. Maybe you got some genetic abilities. But it needs to be put into practice. How do we know that we're following the truth? Well, we have to use this word of God. That means we have to put it into practice. Why does God allow false teachers to run around? As part of it is to give us practice. A chance to sharpen our skills. So that we might stay with what is true. In 1 John chapter 2, 1 John chapter 2, and in verse 18, children, it is the last hour, and just as you heard that Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have appeared. From this we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not really a part of us. For if they had been of us, they would not have remained with us. But they went out, so that it would be shown that they were not all of us. It is hard sometimes in the church to lose members. It's difficult. You start questioning yourself. You start looking at yourself and saying, what did we do wrong? But you, at the same time, you understand that that's not such a bad deal. That sometimes we do need to look at ourselves. But some will depart from the church. And it shows that they were not really a part of us. I can almost spot sometimes the people that are going to leave. Because they stop talking about us as a church, as a congregation, and start talking about what you people believe. They start putting a separation between themselves in the very words that they use. You know, it's very easy to follow after things when there's no resistance. But the fact that faithful Christians stand up against their false teachings serves as a spotlight on what they're doing. You know, few people would notice falses unless somebody pointed them out. Now, is it comfortable pointing out that there are problems? No. And there are some people saying, hey, just let things alone. Don't rock the boat. Little realizing if we don't point out false teachings, it's going to spread. And it won't stop there. If you don't understand why it won't stop, just take a look at some of the most liberal denominations out there. There's some of them that call themselves Christians that have sessions on Gaia, which is the Earth Mother Goddess. I've seen that, you know, brochures with stuff on it. And you're going, they call themselves a Christian church? You know, we're talking about idolatry here. And they're promoting it. That's what happens over time. You know, back in Deuteronomy chapter 13, Deuteronomy chapter 13, and start with verse 1. God explains something about prophets to the Israelites. He gives them some tests to which measure whether a prophet really is a true prophet or not. One of them is in that I want to look at is in Deuteronomy chapter 13, and we're going to start with the first verse. It says, if a prophet or a dreamer of dreams arises among you and gives you a sign or a wonder, and the sign or wonder comes true concerning which he spoke to you, saying, let us go after other gods whom you have not known, and let us serve them. You shall not listen to the word of the prophet or that dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God is testing you to find out if you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Now notice what he's saying there. Why did God let false prophets go in saying all sorts of weird things like there are other gods? Why didn't he just zap them right on the spot? Moses said that sometimes God's going to let it happen. God's going to allow it to find out who really loves God. Because how do you know until you make the choice? God uses false teachers to test how committed we are to the Lord. Because it's very easy to claim to love God when there is no resistance to that. But will we love God when someone's actively trying to persuade us to leave God? To follow something else? Can we really know for ourselves for sure unless we actually go through the test? Yeah, we sometimes we read back in the Bible and we look at the times of the Bible and say, oh, if I've lived back then, I would never have done that thing. How do you know? You don't go through the things that they went through. How do you know you would stand firm? God does, at times, allow false teachers in, just to find out who's going to stand firm. In fact, interestingly, in Luke chapter 2, it goes the other way as well. In Luke chapter 2, starting with verse 34, Luke chapter 2, verse 34, when Jesus was born, Simeon made a prophecy. He says, Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, behold, this child is appointed for the fall and the rise of many in Israel, and for a sign to be opposed, and a sword will pierce even your own soul, to the end of that the thoughts from which many hearts may be revealed. Now notice what Simeon said. This man, Christ, is going to be the rising of many in Israel, but he's also going to be the cause of many to fall. Jesus was a person who basically forced people to make a choice. And some people would make the wrong choice. He would be that point of decision. He would be that stone of stumbling. He and I found a lot of stones of stumbling when we were walking. Last week, there were lots of rocks in all various paths that we were following. You had to watch where you put your foot down. You had to make decisions. In 1 Peter chapter 2, First Peter chapter 2. And starting with verse 4. And coming to him as to a living stone, which has been rejected by men, but is choice and precious in the sight of God. You also, as living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For this is contained in Scripture. Behold, I lay in Zion a choice stone, a precious cornerstone, and he who believes in him will not be disappointed. This precious value, then, is for you who believe. But for those who disbelieve, the stone which the builders rejected, this became the very cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense. For they stumbled because they were disobedient to the word, and this to their doom they are also appointed. But you are a chosen race, a holy priesthood, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. For you were not once not a people, but now you are the people of God. You had not received mercy, but now you receive mercy. Christ caused people to make choices. And some people fell away. Some people were offended by what Christ taught. You know, that choice makes people show the real hearts of people. It's not just the outward acknowledgement. It begins to show the true inward feelings of people. Another point also, the reason why there are false teachers is because divisions show people's faith. Take a look at Romans chapter 9. Romans chapter 9 and verse 30. What shall we say then? The Gentiles who did not pursue righteousness obtained righteousness, even the righteousness which is by faith. But Israel, pursuing a law of righteousness, did not arrive at the law. Why? Because they did not pursue it by faith, but as though it were by works. They stumbled over the stumbling stone, just as it was written, Behold, I lay in Zion a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, and he who believes in him will not be disappointed. Why did Israel as a nation, as a whole, did not accept Christianity and Christ, the Messiah, the one that they were looking for all those years? They were offended by it. They were offended by Christ. They did not accept what God offered. They didn't believe God. Think of what it really means, because Christ is God in the flesh. God came among his own creation, and his own creation did not believe him. And that choice still comes. It still happens. When you take a stand, there are going to be people who will oppose you. It's going to be expected that people are going to sometimes get upset. There are going to be times when people are going to take offense to what you say and do, even when you're standing for the full truth. What can we expect? The thing that we need to understand is that the false teaching is wrong. It is hurtful, it is harmful to a group, it will destroy the faith of many people. But at the same time, there is a silver lining there. We have to understand it's going to happen. There are benefits to it, not to the false teacher, not to the ones who are led astray. For them, the destruction is waiting. But for those who overcome the false teaching, those who successfully resist the devil's schemes, what results is strength and joy. Take a look at last passages, James chapter 1, starting with verse 2. James chapter 1, And starting with verse 2. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Why do we have people challenging our beliefs? So there is a testing of our faith, so that we might become perfect, even while they themselves lose their salvation because they would not stay with what God taught. And so, in a strange way, there is a benefit to false teaching. There is profit for those who overcome. We'd like to offer an opportunity. If there's anyone here this morning who is not yet a child of God, there is no better than right now to put on Christ, to do what Christ has asked, to start following after what is right. And if there's anyone here who is a child of God, I'd like the prayers of the brethren on the behalf, perhaps has strayed away from what is truth. I'd like the brethren to pray with you and work with you. There's an opportunity to make that known too. Why don't you come forward and be standing and sing the song Selected.